At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
It's time to go one-on-one with DP. Coming at you live from the Koppel Chevrolet GMC Studios, here is your host, Derek Pearson. Brought to you by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Tuesday, boom, in your face, in your face, in your face, son. It's good to be back. The starter Heyman text line is 402-464-5685. You want to be a part of what we're doing? Hit us with a what's up. Greatly appreciate you hanging out with us on a Tuesday as it is the Tuesday of Forever Football Eve, and we're digging it a lot. There'll be college football games this weekend, and I'm all giddy, loose, bumpy about it. You can follow on the streams, as you should. If you were doing your thing, you're either on the Ticket app. If you haven't downloaded the Ticket app, you should. You can follow on social media as well. You can follow on Facebook, X, if you feel fancy. And then locally, you're on Allo Channel 961. Greatly appreciated. In order to set the proper tone, mood, vibe, and standard of this next hour of sport and life conversation, a certain voice is required, and Harrison Arnes, you, sir, are the master. Lead up.
He is a pirate. Blustering in from sea, with a rollicking song he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash with a silver hat about his head and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Never gets old. The deep, resonating, vibrant voice of the late, great John Facenna. But that's not enough for this man, this guest. We have to set the tone. It's football season. Yes. Harrison Arnes, show this man how much you love him.
Yes, sir. Oh,
you got a treat.
What we got?
Brown 45. Brown 45. Hot.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Oh, man.
Let's go.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey. Let's go. Hey, let's go. Let's go. Green Right Nasty. Z Peel. You're going to go fake.
That's what you know.
Hey, Kirk 37 slash.
Business is about to pick up, Barry Thompson.
Yes,
1977, NFL, CBS intro. Yeah. For anyone who's wondering what the hell this dude is.
Oh, Barry Thompson, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good and getting better, man. Thanks for having me on.
Doing good and getting better is, it should be on a shirt.
Yeah,
it's gonna get it. Be on a shirt.
We gotta get it.
Hey, man, we got to get that done. Good and getting better. It's been far too long, but as we set the tone for this week, and, you know, Dublin has become the home away from home, I do want to ask football fans, and Barry, specifically to you and to Harrison Arndt, is having the first major college football game in another country the right move? Barry Thompson, sir?
That's interesting. I'm not that particular. I just know that it's going on and we're going to get down. But, yeah, I think for the good of the game, it's not bad. It's not bad. But I tell you this, if it was my team, right, if it was my college team, I'd want that first game at home. Although I understand that the attractiveness of traveling out, I'd want to be at the home stadium, I would think, for my first game.
Yeah, it's, you know, Nebraska has recent history with it, and it didn't go well.
Yeah, it's not a crime. What we did there was a crime.
Yeah.
You know, there's two ways to look at it.
Yeah, it would have been nice if they had actually finished.
It depends how you do. Like, if we talk the NFL, too, like Jacksonville, like, I'd be incredibly discouraged for how often those guys leave me to go across the pond. But if you do it once in a while, like, I'm pretty indifferent on
it. If you're in a relationship, Barry Thompson, correct me if I'm wrong, if you're in a relationship, and your significant other and their friends currently consistently decide to go somewhere else to celebrate.
Yeah. No, you start to feel some kind of way about why are y'all leaving?
Well, my cooking ain't good enough. You got to go.
We can't come over to my house every now and then. What's up?
Right, with that? Like a little bit, Barry.
Hey, a little bit of Saturday Night Live. What's up with that?
Yeah. It's been a minute since we have that on the ticket. That used to be a starter. It is the time, you know, Nebraska is 8 days. We're 8 days from Kansas City and year two of Dylan Raiola at quarterback, year three of Matt Rhule, year one plus of Dana Holgorsen. Actually, you know, he's 0 week plus four. Right, plus five. Mm-hmm. He's been in the building and had an opportunity to find out, look around. He got to clean up, you know, a little few of the closets, mm-hmm. right? He got to get in the backyard and pull up some things and plant mm-hmm. some things. And, mm-hmm. you know, as Barry, you're familiar with that. You're familiar with going into new programs with young talent.
Yeah.
Where does it start? You walk into a new building. Mm. With and you'd hear the whispers of a quarterback being in the room, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, Barry, yeah, I got a guy, but, you know, he's got some things, but we're trying to get it right.
Right.
What's on the list, the Barry Thompson list for quarterbacks? If you're a new coordinator,
right,
and you're walking in to look at the room, are you evaluating what he does well, what he doesn't do well, what he's asked to do, what you think he can do? What's on the list for a quarterback evaluator when you walk into a room with a new quarterback talent?
Everything you just said. No, I think, well, obviously at the college level, you pick somebody who has some sort a level of talent, certainly above, you know, most of the people that are playing or, you know, coming out of high school. So you're looking at what that person does well. You're also evaluating or really not evaluating, but really pressing on the preparation part of it. Once you, for a good quarterback, once you get to the high school level, and you want to be a good quarterback, just the high school level, yeah. you have to have an appreciation that you're going to spend more time off the field preparing to play than you ever were on the field. And then at college, it exacerbates itself, right? It gets even deeper. So we really want, probably more than anything else, I would think that I'd want a guy who really, really submitted himself to understanding all the details of his position. Obviously, if he's playing at college level FPS, he can throw the ball from here to there. If there's a mechanical thing to clean up, you'd like to see him clean it up. But really that understanding of every detail of the position and the effort to go into that. You know, when you're looking at quarterbacks at this level, nobody says, well, he's not fast enough or, you know, he doesn't have the mm-hmm. arm strength or, you know, that doesn't come up. It's the other things that are so important. And I know that level of preparation off the field is the distinguishing characteristics between a very successful quarterback and a quarterback who's just, you know, kind of good.
Through that, that because talent in the room at a program like Nebraska, playing in the Big Ten Conference, mm-hmm. having an established coordinator who really has a plan for what he wants his offenses to look like. Mm-hmm. So, Barry, how is Dana Holgorsen and Dylan Raiola meeting? Are they meeting? Are they meeting in the middle of the bridge from either side? Are they meeting over at Holgorsen's side that, hey, listen, here's what I like to run. Here's what I like my quarterbacks to do. Here are the rules of engagement. Or does Holgorsen meet Raiola where he is and then try to get him back to his side of the bridge? How does that work?
I'm not sure if it's a bridge. And if it's anything, I think it'd be more of a gap than a bridge because Holgorsen likes to, you know, get the ball downfield, likes to score points. And obviously, you know, Dylan has that kind of personality as a quarterback. He wants that ball and you want to go score. So I wouldn't term it a bridge. It might be a gap. Now, the gap would be, how do we get that done? Like, how do we close this thing? And I think the challenge would be for one or the other side to see that whatever's being suggested can kind of go that way. So, you know, when you look at air raid systems, you know, Y-cross is a big part of it. Certain patterns that are a big part of it. They're looking to stress safeties more than they are kind of looking to hit underneath coverage, although they have that design in it. And so I think the big thing would be, you know, learning how to balance that, right? That there's times when we want to go downfield. There's times when we have to take what's available. So I think that would be more of the gap. You've got two guys who want to get that ball. They know that the passing game is a prime asset to scoring the ball. Not that they're against running. That's a lot of things about air raid offenses is you lose track of the rushing yards that it accumulates during the course of time. But there's a certain way that you're going to prosecute and look at the field. And I think it would just be a matter of closing that gap. You know, I want you to do it this way, or you can get what you want through doing it this way, or you can get, you know what I mean? I think there's small differences because you have two mindsets and ability to do it.
Yeah. And that gap, the space as it narrows, then you can go together, and it's much easier to go together.
Yes.
The coordinator and the quarterback are going together instead of one pulling the other or one dragging the other.
And there's one more important component of GPS. Sorry to interrupt, but yes, we can have all that stuff out of a quarterback, but man, what you really want is you want a leader. You know, you really want a leader. And I think Dylan has that kind of personality where, you know, he interacts with teammates and they kind of can galvanize around him. And that is so critical that's the other component of all this other stuff that has to be put in there. And the third thing is, yeah, he's got to be able to go out and play, right? You can't screw things up.
Yeah, it's that part that you mentioned, that for this type of system and the attack points, that a focus is, again, putting pressure on safeties.
Yep.
As a quarterback coach, how do you, whether it's through play calling, you know, smart eyes, footwork, mm-hmm. how do you put pressure on a safety? What should Husker fans be looking at to know that Holgorsen and Raiola are together in putting pressure on safeties and it looks the way it's supposed to?
Right. Well, the big thing with a too high look that you get a lot is you can do it one of two ways. You can kind of hit both safeties. You can have pass structures that hit both safeties and you're isolating one, or you can kind of attack one safety with two and then, you know, put him in a bind. Normally that those concepts are kind of reserved for backers where you put backers in conflict. It's just stretching the field a little bit and getting to the safeties and getting them to move and then throwing off of those things. Umpteen different routes that you can have going. I think you saw a little bit of a crossing route. Takes a little time, right? So pass protection comes into this. It really, any time that you're throwing the ball, you know, you need a little speed to make it happen faster. Receivers have to understand, I think, more in this system, in my opinion, receivers really have to understand not so much the route, but really where they need to be. And they need to be taught, you know, there's umpteen different ways to get to where I need you, but I need you there, right? And the timing of all that coming together kind of creates the structure, and it becomes a little tough to defend. Now, you back that up with somebody who can run the ball And anytime you give most defenses more than one thing that they have to really concern themselves with, it gets a little, to be a little too much for defenses. They just, unless it's an extraordinary defense, right? It becomes a little too much for defenses, and there you go, right? So you're either stretching them horizontally, stretching them vertically. You can do that same play. You know, the Commanders now run a system, and we run one too at the high school level where there's a run call, but there's something attached to every run, whether it's an RPO, whether it's a screen. And so it kind of prevents defenses from cheating as long as you have a good decision maker. And then while you're worrying about this horizontal thing that's going on, that same look may be a pass that's going down and getting down the field. So they're pretty exciting attacks. And then all of this DP is really great, you know, throw for yards and touchdowns. But, man, you want to win a football game. You know what I mean? You want to win a football game. So it all has to be wrapped up in a way that you're going to win and prosecute a football game.
In saying that, there's so much of this. We're talking to Barry Thompson, quarterback coach. In having these conversations with you, I get the opportunity to share with people details of some of the things that we've talked about so freely. And you just mentioned the RPO game and how important it is. And it is a part of Holgorsen and what Nebraska plans to do. It has a full cap because the running aspect of it certainly adds to it and takes away from it if you don't do that portion of it well. But let's go through the checklist of what an RPO is. So when Husker fans see this thing line up, back set, receivers in play, whether it be motion, what are you trying to attack and then what his reads are?
Yeah, well, it's different. Traditional RPO, right, you have some mesh point with a running back and then you see a defender coming down and you pop the ball out. But I think the RPO writ large is you have a play that is a run play, but there's a screen or a pass attached to it. And so with the quarterback comes up, you know, you can have him do either way. He could read the box and say, well, it's good to run. But more likely, what he's looking for is any type of leverage that he can get the throw off. You know, so if you know, we're 2x2, which they run a lot, 2x2, and I've got, you know, off coverage on number one, and I got a backer sitting way inside, well, you know, that's a great look for me to throw a bubble, even though I have a run call. So it's those types of things beyond just traditional RPO where I'm meshing and looking for someone to come out. They're just really looking. Let me put it this way. In some of these systems, you could call a run 75% of the time, but they may throw the ball 50% of the time. You understand?
Yeah. So a
run may be called. And it's really the offense has gotten to that point where they're attaching all kinds of plays to a run.
I want to paint the picture for Nebraska fans as they watch. That sometimes RPO play calls and the options that go with it, things that decisions that have to be made. That more importantly, RPO is IQ. It's more IQ than athletic.
Yes,
that
yes.
Reading situation, circumstance, down distance, number of player defenders in the box, and that the number in the box only really matters if you have the wrong personnel on the field. That there's a way that if it's 6 in the box or 7 in the box, there's a way to attack it anyway. So through that, in year 2 for Dylan Raiola, year one, 67% completion, over 2,800 yards, which I think is lost in some of the discussion that a true freshman came in and threw for 2,800 yards in most cases. You're ready to fully engage and celebrate in that. 13 touchdowns. 11 interceptions. Mm-hmm. Of those numbers, what's the number that's going to let folks know that Dylan Raiola is taking a next step? Is it higher yardage, higher completion, more touchdowns, fewer interceptions?
Interceptions. There's only two people touch the ball in every snap in offense. It's the center and the quarterback. And primary objective is take care of the ball. So no matter how those interceptions occurred, you lower that. You just think about the same numbers you provided. With two interceptions, and you'd probably easily see the difference in a game or two, right? So it's really you're going to see him take care of the ball. That means he's making cleaner decisions. And the whole operation is – I'm not blaming all 11 on him, right? We know how these things can happen. But that means there's a whole cleaner operation going on when those interceptions go down to, you know, say under five, you know, five, six, depending on how many touchdowns you have. You know, if you're getting up around the 30, 35 range in touchdowns, you know, maybe, but you still don't, you don't want anything around 11. You want single digits if it happens.
Barry, it's that thing, though, that maybe Big Ten type of play or style of play defensively. Mm-hmm. Defensively cues up some of the stuff, right? Some of it's reactionary. We can say that we like to talk in thirds, that a third of the Big Ten is going to be more talented than you are and are going to force you to do some things you don't want to do. A third of it, you're going to be able to do whatever you want more often than not. And then it's that middle third that determines the outcome of games and seasons, because if you have control over that, over those Big Ten defenses, we know the top six Big Ten defenses are all college football caliber defenses.
Right.
So RPOs and play calls and quarterback decision making, it's important. We know that the bottom third, you know what? you got a pretty good shot of doing okay against them. It's the middle third. Right. How do you win those games from the decision making mindset?
Taking care of the ball. You know, we've talked about it in terms of baseball a lot. You know, a lot of times in baseball, you know, they have the term just it's not easy, but just make the plays that are there to be made, right? We talked about that. So you can go a long way in football in terms of getting to, you know, the bottom of the top third. You can get there just by taking care of the football, not by not committing penalties, right? Mm-hmm. And by, we've always said, you know, executing the layups, right? That persecutes things, gets first downs, change field position. You play pretty solid defense. You don't give up big plays. You know, somebody is going to score on you, that takes a while to do it. You're solid on special teams. You're not doing any stupid stuff in terms of special team play. So you can get there to the bottom third of the top third just by literally being solid, right? It takes some consistency to do it. But if you have a quarterback who's operating a system where I can always find an advantage and he can deliver the ball, and you have a few people that can break a tackle and, you know, possess the ball, then, you know, you can get people fits.
Yeah, and it's always in this space. And as we talk about it, you know, I forgot to give people the disclaimer that, contrary to what I say we're going to talk about, that one-on-one is we honor the Gump family rule, is that it is a box of chocolates and you're never quite sure what you're going to get. So you buckle up and you consume whatever we have in play, because we go down rabbit holes and that's how it works. Talking about Dylan Raiola, year two freshman. Now, again, in those numbers we just gave, he led all FBS freshmen in completion percentage.
I was going to say, out of the true freshmen out there, he had the best season for starting as many games.
He was effective in completing passes to all freshmen. Now, again, the number of interceptions is an accumulation of a lot of other things. Mm-hmm. Down and distance, situation, circumstance, bad receiving play, pressure, getting the ball out, a ton of things, right? Some of those are desperation throws that fall in the way. He was 13th nationally in completion. So, again, making better decisions, again, more time with Holgorsen should enable him to have better completion rate even amongst that. And then he was third amongst all true freshmen in total in passing yards. So we're talking about somebody that can get the ball downfield. You don't normally think of Nebraska receivers as explosive. Mm-hmm. So when you get that number of yards as a true freshman, but I asked the question before we go to break, Barry Thompson, are we asking too much of him in year two to expect him to be?
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
In the top third of quarterbacks in the Big Ten Conference.
No, you're not. I think everything coming together, there's no reason. The 67% completion percentage is good, you know, if you're a junior, you know, it's a senior. That's a pretty good rate. You're getting up that 67, 70%. with these types of games is good. I think the bigger challenge, from where I sit, the football is not going to be an issue for him. What I always wonder about is the perspective that he's taking on the season to kind of, you know, with all the attention that is around him, right? And mm-hmm. I always worry about, or always think about quarterbacks, that emotional component of you know, kind of feeling like you're bearing all this weight, right? That the expectations are so high. And that's what, to me, makes these guys really spectacular, because the right guy can just shrug it off and I'm going to just go play football, that other stuff I don't listen to. I don't think that comes naturally. I think that comes through a learned experience, right? Of how to handle things, how to say no to certain things. That's another whole component to this, besides just the X's and O's part of it. And I'm as excited to see how he handles that part of it as well as anything else. And by the way, the Huskers are going to stub their toe at some point this season. Something's going to happen. There's going to be a game where they're not in the right spot. Maybe they drop a game that everybody feels they should win. You know, maybe they get off to a horrible start in a particular game. Those are the things that I'm really looking for. And that kind of tells you about leadership, cohesiveness, and team confidence, because those are the things that really make great seasons, overcoming something collectively together. So I don't know if I answered your question, DP, but that's kind of what's on my mind with him.
Yeah, that's the rabbit hole I really wanted to go down, because in setting the table for this thing, you have the opportunity to just remind folks, this was a freshman and a new coordinator. And this is year three of the Matt Rhule thing. Barry, when we come back, we'll talk about what happens in year one and two to set expectation for year three. As a coach, you've been in that situation. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about that. We'll get those answers from Barry Thompson when we come back.
You're listening to One-on-One with DP, sponsored by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
In the building.
I love that, man. Getting down just for the funk of it.
Into One Nation under a groove.
Just imagine One Nation under a groove. Just for the funk of it.
Somebody would ask for it to be Journey. Some would ask for it to be Neil Diamond, right?
I don't care.
Unite, right?
You're just a small town boy living in Little Caroline. I don't care. It could be. Thank God I'm a country boy. I don't care. It could be any of those. Just One Nation under a groove would be a beautiful thing.
Whatever puts us in a collective vibe.
Oh, that would be good. Imagine everybody just for a moment, just on one vibe.
But isn't that what sports is? That its ability that 90,000 people in Lincoln, Nebraska can get together, hear the notes of a chord and understand that it's time to stand together. And, you know, it doesn't matter what song it is. The same applies in Charlottesville, Virginia, when the band strikes up. We know that in South Bend, Indiana, you can hit the first three chords and everybody stands. Yeah. The horn section from USC and the Trojans setting everybody off. It just...
And we can't forget those crazy Cajuns down in Baton Rouge.
They let you know, don't they? They let you know when it's we're about to get down. And we as much as we don't like the Ann Arbor folks, we all understand when we hear 1-2, you know what to do. And you know Hails and Victors is coming, and you just have to, you know, the UCLA 8 count, you know it's coming. That's what sports does. The fight songs. That was actually the vibe when I posted it, when I shared it tonight. I said, strike up the band.
Yeah, man.
Strike up the band, because there's nothing about it. Hail Varsity here, standing at the corner of 11th and 0 on a home game Saturday, and the band happens by 11th and 0, and they strike up the first chords to Hail Varsity. Mm-hmm. We all forget everything and get together.
Yeah, and you know what? And going deeper than that, everybody who's been around that high school Friday night game too, right? and their band had a certain rhythm when they walked in. You know, we worked at a couple schools where they had distinctive thing, and you play that, and that starts to vibrate too. It's a really cool thing about sports, a really cool thing about music, and a really cool thing about food.
It is why we love what we love.
Is Nebraska's band traveling to Arrowhead?
I would imagine that they are.
I hope so. I think that'd be cool.
I would imagine that they are. They don't always go on the road.
And this is a
a neutral site game. Yeah. This is a neutral site game. It'll be 60,000 Husker Reds, but you know, when Cincy tells you they only sold 6,000 tickets. Oh man.
Blame him.
Like my stomach hurt just to hear him say it. Like it just the look on his face, it literally is like he was standing on an elevator and the only person in there farted. Like he that was the look on his face. It was like, oh man.
Cincinnati, they feel like they're gonna be mean. I was listening to their head coach too at their last scrimmage and he was livid.
Well, sloppy.
I think he's ready to, I think he knows what room those guys he wants them.
Well, but he has talent. Cincinnati has talent.
I agree. I think
I said this, and some folks got irritated when I said that three or four of the best players on the field will be Cincinnati Bearcats. But you need for the best team to be Nebraska, and that like the in pure numbers, I need for the next 18 of those top 22 to be Huskers. I need for them to work better together, and a lot of it's in play that pressure being on Matt Rhule year three. Where he's had success, Holgorsen, and you're talking about a new defensive coordinator that folks have kind of bought into from all that he said, and then you have an effective and proven special teams coach, which will give you three or four plays better than you've had in the last 6 years, which by every other metric, those six plays have been the difference between Nebraska being good and not good. And
supposedly, we got something else from Archie Wilson, which we got to verify, but
I'm awfully curious. Okay, Barry, I'm glad you're here. I'm going to paint the picture. That the media darling of Nebraska's preseason is, you ready for this?
Talk to me.
It's their punter.
Really?
He's fun.
That is, see? Yeah. That is the correct response.
Really? Yeah, you know what? And we started talking about social media about 3 or 4 years ago, I always thought that was the thing, that it could be somebody on the golf team, it could be somebody on the, tennis team, but somebody that had a lot of personality, right, and had a platform would attract a lot of attention. So it's interesting that the punter. As a media darling, I got to get hip. I got to give him a follow to get hip to what he's doing. But he's a kicker, and they're supposed to be different anyway. So I like it.
Well, but he's even amongst kickers, he's super dexterous
kicker.
He's, he can kick with either foot. He can rugby kick. He has first bends and all sorts. Mm-hmm. And then he's got a great personality.
Right? Yeah, I love it. I love it.
But here's the thing, Barry. We've been in those rooms where one or both of the kickers. Punter and kicker, it was their first game.
Yeah.
His first American football game will be on national television in Kansas City.
Here we go. You know, some people that are pretty good, they tend to announce themselves.
Uh-huh.
So to put this in the best light, you know, with this confidence, he may be announcing himself to say, hey, I am somebody to watch. Now, the other way, you know, that ball can go off the foot at any time.
Nuke Luke. Right. Like, announce your presence with authority. The Australian part of it certainly matters. Mm-hmm. But, again, through camp, and again, for what we're told, it's a really difficult ball to handle. Mm-hmm. He's got really good accuracy. He's got all the things, and he's got the great heart. So, like, there's several reasons, but – you had exactly the response that I thought, that if we're talking about the Big Ten freaking football conference. Right. We're not talking about playing against Joe, Minnie Mo, and Jack from down the street.
Right.
We're talking about he's going to be kicking against Michigan. He's going to be kicking in the Big Ten conference against Iowa in brutal weather.
was, you know, he's got some folks that he's going to have to compete against. And I'm not sure that's the story I want to lead a fighter's fight with the kicker.
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting. We had a scrimmage Friday, and there were, you know, the classic high school script where you go 10 plays, 10 plays, 10 plays. They take a break, and they decide whether they're playing a quarter or not, or they can do special teams or not. And so it's probably about an hour and a half into this session, and they decide that they were going to punt. So this kid had been standing around probably for 4 hours, basically, and he gets out and punts, and it it was a type of punt where you heard the coach, well, we should have just gone for it on fourth down. And I felt bad for him, you know what I mean? Because you know the kid can kick, but that was his one moment, right, and to get on the field and kind of throw what you're talking about here. It's a tough business. Here we go. Either his account is going to blow up and get big, or he's going to go down quick.
No, his following is huge because they have been talking about this since day one of camp.
I will say the what how we got onto like the mainstream media was not great. I did feel I didn't even play it. I played it real short on Pick a Weeknights because like this guy's probably heard this like all damn day.
Mm-hmm.
He just like caught off guard. But how we got to the mainstream was a little bit different.
Tell the story, Harrison. So,
well, they asked him about his family, and then he had a moment. I do think the question just totally caught him off guard. So you do kind of see him starting to tear up all a little bit, recollects himself, and then answers the question. But that's what made him America's, like, they really felt for the kid after that.
So he's got people pulling for him.
Yes, like at a national level in a very unique way. He got there, but people are definitely rooting.
You know what? That brings up an interesting thing, DP. I'm sorry to cut you off, but when you find out why people play football, you sit in the room and they get to share why they're playing football. That is a really powerful. Those are some powerful things that can happen amongst teammates, that they share the exact reason why they're playing football, what got them into football, why they keep playing, what motivates them. That's I've had the chance to experience that a couple times. And I mean, the stories that I heard, it's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. So
it's a great story and a great moment. Mm-hmm. As I said, talking about football, that if you tell me of all the stories you want to leave, what's your first story off the bus? If you tell me that Dylan Raiola is the first story, if you tell me that you've got some big 6'6", 330 pounder who throws people out the club.
Tell me you've
got a hammer and nail at running back. Yeah. Tell me that you've got an antelope and a graceful unicorn. Tell me you've got hitmen and assassins in the front seven. Tell me you've got ball hawks and ballers in the back four, back five. Tell me all about your defensive coordinator who's got every coaching mantra on call and rolled up and ready to hit you with.
I think it's more of a sign of how bad special teams have been than anything else. That it's like we almost we can talk about it.
Yeah. You got a point, DP. I mean,
Barry, if you walk into and again, this is the Big Ten.
Yeah.
If you walk into the Big Ten nightclub, Big Ten nightclub, right, where there are NFL ones and one Bs all over place, right? Future super millionaires. And you're walking, you pull up in a Nebraska bus, and the first dude off the bus is your Aussie punter.
What's up, Wilson?
Hey, man.
Yeah, come on.
All I think of is replacement. I think of...
come on. Hey, listen. Hey, to be honest, Dylan might like it because it provides a little cover for him. Tension on the paper and let it go.
100%. 100%. All right, Barry, we're off the edge. We'll go to break. We'll come back. We'll close out with closing thoughts from Barry Thompson.
You're listening to One-on-One with DP, sponsored by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Oh... Harrison Arns. just
don't ruin my optimism, DP. I like to look towards the bright sun in the morning.
I'm all for it. Look up at the sun, cover your eyes, let your heart
accept the vitamins from the sun.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe I just can't blind myself looking into it.
No, my thing is I wasn't casting doubt on the rest of the program. I just said as a coach.
Yeah.
As a coach, if I'm going into a fight and the first thing, the one thing you see, you do scouting report, first thing that pops up is the punter, I'm chuckling. I'm going to giggle like a schoolgirl on the first day of, like, chocolates. I'm just, this is amazing. This is amazing. He could be the best. Listen, he could be Ray Guy, and I still would chuckle.
I mean, it's fine.
He could be Reggie Roby, and I
Reggie Roby.
Bruh, that's just me. You know, those Iowa teams with Reggie Roby as their best player.
Remember the Colquitts used to hold down punting for a little bit. The Colquitts.
Oh my goodness gracious! It was a thing. Tennessee just they got giddy over the Colquitts, and it was yay.
Who's the guy?
Colquitts, the Colquitts and the Matthews, right? The Matthews.
Half foot back in the day.
Tom Dempsey.
Okay.
Tom Dempsey.
So he's a guy that's I think. Yeah, it's
but,
fair to get
but he had a Hall
him.
Of Fame quarterback in Archie Manning playing for him. Yeah. Right.
They didn't leave with Tom Dempsey.
Abramovich had the receiving streak record for
Tom Abramovich. Wow.
You know, no, wow. Danny Abramovich and Tom Dempsey. Tom Dempsey, listen, here's my thing. From football purists, which I would think that Nebraska fans are.
Special teams is a part of the game, man.
Well, you are digging deep.
Yeah.
You are digging deep.
Hey, let's get to year three, building year three.
Yeah, all right. Talk to me about this thing that he has found success in it and that what happens over. So give me year one. Year one is introduction, cleaning, breaking it up.
Year one, you know, you want to get rid of as many people as you can as fast as you can, right? The ones that don't match what you're doing. The portal kind of helps a little bit. You know, and you kind of rebuild that. You kind of get more of the people. I think there's a combination between getting the talent that you want to need to compete, which is a must, and then also the types of people that you want in the building. And then year three, hopefully you've had enough chance to get most of that together. But the other thing you're really looking at in year three is scheduling, right? Mm-hmm. You want a schedule that kind of favors you a little bit. That after you do all that work, you need the schedule to kind of help you. Some coaches will tell you schedule wins. Within reason, you schedule wins, right? And that's what you're really looking for in year three. So you're hoping the schedule comes together. You're hoping that the people that you have obtained are the right talent level and the right people. And I think in this day and age, because money is a huge factor, if you're not at the top of the heap, if you're not a Rockefeller, if you're not, you know, a multi billionaire, so to speak, then you're going to have to take some chances on some people who you think you can develop, right? The development game isn't completely lost, right? But there's somebody that might be a little bit raw or somebody that you can coach that position. They've got them and you hope to get something out of it. So you're in the business of looking for value as well as whatever money you can spend. And you're hoping that you put that whole elixir together, that you have a team that can go out and play solid and not make a lot of dumb mistakes.
In year two, the standard has to be raised, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the same for year three, that year two cannot be acceptable.
Well, I'm just saying, when you're getting paid a lot of money as a coach, or just if you're, you know, you have a coaching job and it's your job, mm-hmm. I think you're going to kind of hedge your bets and year three. You know, you're looking at year one. You kind of got a feeling in the marketplace, what you can get, what you can't get, how much money you have to spend, what this is going to look like. And then you're hedging a little bit in year three with your schedule. So you want, to the extent that you can control your schedule, you want to give all that stuff that you're asking to buy in a chance to be successful, right? You don't want to go out and schedule yourself out of wins with a group that might be 2 years away, right? You want to kind of get a schedule where the group that you have has a legit chance to be successful. And then from there, now you can start building on the success. So looks like they have a schedule that's pretty not bad, right? You've recounted this a couple times. And so now it's, it's, you know, can you get to a bowl game, right? I know everybody's jacked up, but it's really, can you get to that bowl game? Can you get that sixth win? And then you go from there.
If we said this, that in year three, coaches work from in fixing what you don't do well or excelling, highlighting what you do, mm-hmm. which is closer to the truth?
I think the thing that you're coaching most in year three is how to win. That's what you're coaching most. And that formula is, that's where the kind of alchemy, the little bit of artistry comes in and being a coach, right? Of looking, what's the best way for these pieces to kind of work together? Is the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator kind of in sync a little bit about how this is going? Or have you matched them up? Right. Mm-hmm. So if I want an offense that's going to score a lot, I need a defense that's going to give me back the ball a lot. Right. It just can't be offense. Like, I can't score and then you turn around and give up a 15 play drive and the quarter's over. So there has to be some marriage of the philosophies of the offensive coordinators and the defensive coordinators and a relationship there, because things will change at points in the game. Sometimes it's not going really well and maybe you could score or something, but you need to really construct a drive, right, to give the defense a little bit of a rest, or, you know, those types of things. And that part of it is really important in terms of the staff. And then you want to make sure that the special teams guy, you know, isn't off doing stuff that he wants to do. Like, he decides it's a good time for a trick play. And they're like, no, it's not. Punt the ball away. So all of that has to kind of come together in year three, starting from the top down.
Barry, it will be a weekly check-in get your updates and your suggestions, your screen grabs, and your sights and insights. I think those are important for us all and for my emotional sanity. just remind me that what I see.
Your alma mater scrimmages tomorrow night.
Hey, man, let the coach know we're rooting for him. I am expecting more blue and gray goodies. So. All right.
On the way.
We'll get that done. Barry Thompson, thank you, kind sir.
Thank you.
Don't go anywhere. Ticket weeknights. Harrison Irons will carry you through. Tristan Domes is in the building. He should have a decent night for you. Be good to each other, simply because.